Good Friday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny. June 27th, 2025. You are listening to The Fan. We've got a great show for you today, including D.C. Councilmember Charles Allen. He's always kind enough to join us when we've got questions about the D.C. City Council and the stadium. He'll stop by at 3:25 today. Also, the head coach of the Wizards, who added a third player in the draft last night, Brian Keefe, joins us at 3:45. That's going to be excellent. What's up, Danny? How are you?
Hey, Bonnie. We got two settings right now, it seems like. Stupid, scorching ridiculousness or dumb and rainy. I'd like an in-between, like a regular old day, but whatever. I'll take what I can take. As long as it's not, I insta-sweat when I step outside, I'll prefer it. I'll take a little rainy, drizzly day over that scorching nonsense.
I made my lap around the Navy Yard, trying to get the steps up today.
Sure, yeah.
Like to take a little walk in the afternoon, clear the head, putting the rundown together, getting ready for a radio program. There was a buzz, an electricity, dare I say a pizzazz, downtown in the Navy Yard here in D.C. at about 11:45 for the Bananas game tonight. The Savannah Bananas are at Nationals Park. Danny, I can't explain to you what I saw. So many people, families, groups of four, five, and six, decked out in yellow.
All yellow.
I saw the merch tents were out there. There were people in lines getting their merch. They had a bunch of music playing. It seemed like the gates were open and people were coming in and out of kind of that area in the center field, plaza at Nats Park, where maybe they, I don't even know what they were doing, but they were welcoming people. And I mean, this is 7 hours before the event.
Yeah, there was a session at like Dunkin' Donuts or something where the several Bananas players took over and were slinging donuts and coffees in the morning locally, and I think there was a line out the door for that.
It seems like people think that I'm hating on it, and I still just want answers, but I'm going to get them finally. Because the Bananas are here in the nation's capital. They're at Nats Park the next two nights, and while your boy did not get tickets, Ryan Clary did.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan will be there tomorrow, and he's going to give us a full report on the Bananas experience on the show on Monday. So I will get the intel I needed. But it's just amazing to me. I just wanted to go up and ask people on the street here in the Navy Yard.
Yeah, like, wait, what are you doing?
Like, not even that. Just like, where did the interest come from? Mm-hmm. And how did you get locked in? I mean, there are little kids all decked out in jerseys. Some of them are player jerseys. Some of them just say Bananas. Mm-hmm. There was a guy and his wife as part of this group that were in firefighters' jerseys, which is the bad team that they play, the equivalent of like the Generals for the Globetrotters.
Yep.
And the wife, these people were probably in their 50s, 60s, I don't know, probably 50s. The wife wearing this jersey had 20-some autographs all over it. Like, it's Nats spring training and you're wearing a Nats jersey and you've gotten every player's autograph. And I went up to the guy and I'm like, are you guys from here? Or do you travel? And he's like, from here. And I was like, yeah. And you're just super into the firefighters? He's like, they're one of the teams the Banana plays. And I was like, okay. And it was clear he didn't want to do the conversation.
Right.
But I want everyone to have fun. I'm not trying to yuck anybody's yum. Go have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
I just still have questions. And people seem to be all the way in. And maybe now they're watching on ESPN, I guess, possibly. That's semi-new. Maybe it's all just a couple of clips that went viral that started this thing. I don't know. Were they streaming these in hundreds of thousands? I just don't know. But they will have like 40,000 people there probably.
Oh, yeah. They'll sell out both nights.
If the weather's good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I want to do. How do I get the Nats to open for the Bananas one time over at Nationals Park?
So the Nats game's at 4, Bananas game's at after?
But we don't tell people. We're just going to trick people.
Uh-huh.
So like they all sit down in their Bananas gear, and then I go, before the Savannah Bananas take the field to do their wacky dances, ladies and gentlemen, here's superstar James Wood and the Washington Nationals. And like Mitchell Parker comes out and gets ready to throw the first pitch.
Gives up four runs because it's the first inning.
But then I drop like these gates so no one can leave. They all have to stay in their seats until the game ends. And then I pass out ballots and they've got to vote for James Wood for the All-Star game. But I'm going to trick them too. I'm going to act like they're voting for their favorite banana. And instead of the banana who does the backflip and tries to catch the ball, mm-hmm. they've got to vote for one of the great players in Major League Baseball at 22 years old. James Wood. And if they're willing to do that, then they can stay for the Bananas game. I kid because I care. Let's open for the Bananas, though. How do we do this? Nats at 1, Bananas at 7, one ticket, you get both, and if you sit through 9 innings of Nats baseball, you get an autograph from one of the Bananas. What do you say?
The fact is, it's this traveling road show, and it's a special occasion. I know it's not a direct comp, but the point stands. Like, this is a phenomenon. It really is incredible what they're what they've been able to do in a really short amount of time. So this is a great case for the power and influence of social media and when it's done very, very well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we see a bunch of these negative cases, right? Where like something that's wrong, that's not reported correctly, travels like wildfire, like gets a million retweets. And then the correction, like, sorry, it's two streets over, gets like six. You know, we've seen that before. This is a positive one where this group of grinders, this sort of like unknown guys that are trying to keep their sports streams alive, all of a sudden turn into this national phenomenon where they could sell out football stadiums and 100,000 seat college football places and do two nights sold out at Nationals Park. It really is unbelievable and incredible.
Tonight, tomorrow, and our full report on the experience from our own Ryan Clary, boots on the ground, will be there as our investigative journalist this weekend. But maybe Monday we'll take some calls from people who went out and experienced it as well. Should be a nice little sports weekend ahead. We're laying low at this point with the NBA Finals, the Stanley Cup Finals in the rear view. Obviously, the National Football League's now a couple of months, really, from us ramping up for the start of the season. But good Major League Baseball weekend. Otherwise, I think it could be a peaceful little weekend. Maybe some pool time for the Rouillets. Nobody knows.
Well, plenty of it. Yeah, we're going to my father-in-law's tomorrow, but there'll be pool time. Probably most of the day on Sunday. We'll get it done. We got some indoor soccer too. The Roadrunners are back, GP. The Roadrunners are back on Saturday for their summer league game.
Here's what I want to start the show with. Mm-hmm. And we can make this our poll question today as well, Darris, on the 106.7 The Fan Twitter account, the Metropolitan Moving and Storage poll of the day. Is it too soon to feel slighted about Jaden Daniels not ranking high enough in quarterback rankings? Yes or no? It's only been one season for Jaden Daniels. And so I have heard over the last couple of weeks as various, you know, different rankings have come out, different shows on this station and on others and different places in the media locally where people take umbrage with Jaden Daniels not being high enough. I think right now, this moment, you could say definitively that the Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks is still safe. So that's Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, the MVP this past year, Lamar Jackson, who's been an MVP and, you know, could have won another one this year, and Joe Burrow's on that list for me. Those are the four guys, right? So, like, Jaden Daniels doesn't get to crack the Mount Rushmore just yet. But when you start talking about who's fifth, Daniels, just based on last year, if that's how he's going to play every single year, is squarely in the discussion. In other words, the level he played at as a rookie was high enough that you could say he's the fifth best quarterback in the league, if you think that that's gospel and what he's going to be in perpetuity. But it is possible that he gets better and he cracks the Mount Rushmore. It's also just as possible that he takes a step back this season, that it's not quite the same level. None of us thought C.J. Stroud, as an example, was going to have a worse second year than first year. And maybe he goes from, he might be fifth or sixth, to now he's probably ninth or tenth because the mean of the two seasons is not quite the MVP level that he was at last year. But I wonder if I'm alone on this. Like, I'm not ready to take great issue with where he's being ranked, so long as it's not egregious. If he's back end top 10, around 10th, 7th, 8th, 9th, whatever, that's fine. But a lot of people are saying, how do you not have him 5th? How do you not have him in the top 7? One of the lists, I think, that drew the most ire.
It was the Yahoo list.
Yahoo came out with a top 10 quarterbacks list, and this might be the one to drill down on. They listed 10 NFL quarterbacks, and Jaden Daniels wasn't one of them. And Commanders fans couldn't believe it. And I agree with you that if we're ranking 10 quarterbacks based on play last year and Jaden Daniels isn't on that list, then that's a joke. And the list should be crumbled up and thrown in the trash, and it should be picked up every Tuesday and Friday outside my house. But that's not what you're doing generally. You're not ranking it. They didn't say, here are our quarterback rankings from the 2024 season. They're saying, here are the quarterback rankings going into the year. And until you do it twice, I just have a hard time going to the mattress over someone not ranking you early enough in a list. Where are you at on this?
Yeah, this is unfortunately probably a little bit boring, but that's where I am. Like, there are a number of guys that could feel slighted. Jared Goff's done some pretty good homework here over the last couple of years. He's not on that top 10 list. Baker Mayfield just threw for 4,500 yards and 41 touchdowns. He's not on that list. There are a number of guys that would have some claim. You know, Brock Purdy down season, but just signed a $1 trillion deal, numbers approximate. He's turned in some pretty good work in recent years. He's not on that list. Neither is Bo Nix. Neither is C.J. Stroud. So externally, if you're doing a, I need a big enough sample, or that, you know, this is a 3-4-5 year track record situation, they're not allowed a ton of young passers on them. I mean, Jalen Hurts, who just won the Super Bowl, is not on that list.
Let me give the list really quick, just because sure. I think it's instructive, because you're right. You're naming all these guys not on the list. You're going, how the heck did you come up with 10 names?
Yeah.
If all those guys aren't on the list. So this was, again, Yahoo's top 10 from 10 days ago, basically. This came out, and it's been a conversation off and on since. Patrick Mahomes by himself in his own tier. Then they have the almost Mahomes tier, which was Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. Then they have the ceiling raiser tier, which was Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, and Matthew Stafford, 4, 5, and 6. Herbert, who I love being that high, I think you could pick a nit with. Like, it's more still potential and oozing athleticism and checking a lot of boxes with how it looks on tape, more so than overall contributions or performance. 7 through 10 then was Dak Prescott. Geno Smith was 8th. I don't know about that one. That seems outrageous.
That's not for me. That's not my list.
Yeah, that's a bad list. Mm-hmm. Jordan Love 9th and C.J. Stroud 10th. So could you sit here and say, well, Jaden Daniels had a better year than Stroud, Love, Geno, certainly Dak, Herbert, maybe Stafford. And now if that's the case, you've got him up there. We haven't talked about golf to your point, but 5th, 6th, something like that. Maybe. A couple of names here like Geno Smith are silly, but I guess my larger point is after one season, it is too soon to feel slighted. You don't get to feel like you're getting slapped in the face because of the one great year. After 2 years, I think you have that luxury. I think now you belong and you could say, I'm being disrespected. Once, a lot of guys can have a great year. Mm-hmm. I need to have 2 before I can feel disrespected.
Yeah, there are 2 guys, and they're both at the back end, that have the smallest samples of 2 seasons. That's Stroud and Jordan Love, right? Everybody else is a multi-year performer in terms of putting up numbers. So that's kind of what this list is to me. I'm not bothered by it. Now, internally, here in the local Washington area, I know what I got. I'm very confident. I love that dude. There won't be a list that he's not on next year or the year after or forever. When they do the annual list, you know, it's listing season when there's no football to be had, there's no free agency, there's no draft, there's no content. It's just that lull after mini camps, OTAs, and then training camp. He'll be everywhere. I love him. He's awesome. We know what we got. Nationally, you're to be forgiven if you're saying, I need to see a little bit more. That's very reasonable. You're not consuming every tweet about how awesome you looked at this thing, or you're not consuming every bit of information about this AI program that is going up against it 2.5 times speed, or you know, every little thing that makes him so special and wonderful and a gift to all of us Washington fans. I understand that. You're doing a big national deal, and you got a guy that's probably a Hall of Famer in Matthew Stafford. You give him the benefit of the doubt. A dude in Justin Herbert that had a quote-unquote down year last year, who threw only 3 picks for an 11-win team, who's got some pretty good deposits in the bank. Totally fine by me that this is the case. I'm not offended yet. If we do this next year and you get a similar, even a slightly watered-down version of what we saw last year, I need him to be ahead of Stroud. I need him to be ahead of Dak Prescott. I need him ahead of Geno Smith. I'll need that list adjusted, but too early for me to be offended and irritated about it.
It's a bad comp, but look at a head coach after 1 year. And sometimes we go, coach of the year, turned a program around, and then the bottom falls out after that. Like Brian Daboll with the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Daboll wouldn't have shown up on a top 10 head coaching list, I don't think, after his first season. But it would have been possible, because the only sample we had was that the Giants shocked everybody, won a playoff game, and got to the second round. And so everyone's assumption is he's a hotshot head coach and one of the next big things. You fast forward 2 seasons later, and he's 18-32 through 51 games, and he's on the hot seat, and people were calling for his head from about week 5 on last season. Mike McDonald right now is a good example with the Seattle Seahawks, where they went 10-7 last year. He looks like he's going to be a long-time, excellent NFL head coach. But if you just take him after this season and you go, I'm going to put him 10th on the NFL's coaching list, and then this year Seattle goes 7-10, and the bloom is off the rose a little bit, and it loses its petals this season because they went to Sam Darnold, they get worse quarterback play, the defense takes a step back, whatever. Now all of a sudden you're taking him right off of the list. I don't think it's that different with an individual player. Now, different conversation to say, is it likely that Jaden Daniels is going to be good every year? Yes. Is it very possible that he is actually better in year 2 than last year? Of course. And it stands to reason that the expectation should be he's going to play at a Pro Bowl level, and he's got a chance to win an MVP award in the next couple of years if this team is good. That is what we've seen. But the demand that everyone around the country has to start throwing the party already, just a little bit early for me. If people want to see it again, I think that's perfectly reasonable.
Yeah.
Especially here, where they've been fooled before. And it's a very different thing. I'm not suggesting Jaden and Robert are even similar in any way, really, other than they both burst onto the scene in their first year as Rookie of the Years, and it was already going sideways at this point with Griffin, who was coming off injury and at odds with the coaching staff. Very, very different, but it's okay when people don't want to, after one season, just say, all right, we know what this is forever. So I've been a little surprised by the blowback from Commanders fans, but I want to hear from you guys at 800-636-1067. Does that make any sense that one season is too soon to start feeling slighted?
Yeah, I don't think, I hate to sound like I'm about to sound, but I wasn't surprised because we finally have this gift, and it's been better than it's been in more than a decade plus, to your point, and it seems sustainable and big picture. So Washington fans, anything short of love him as much as I do, are going to feel slighted. You know what I mean? Like, this is their version of my thing where I get mad every time ESPN goes to commercial before a Washington draft pick, where it's like, please acknowledge my team. That's what they're doing, but translated here, right? So I totally see it. That, like, anything that doesn't have Dan Quinn as the best coach in the NFL, anything that doesn't have Adam Peters as the number one executive in the NFL, same with Daniels, their quarterback, I get it. They brought you the first joy that you've had sustainably in a long time, and they're the right guys for the gig. I'm happy, too. I get it if everyone else needs to see a bit more, but I understand that everybody else has made up their mind, and it's almost like a slight at you.
I will check the poll on this in just a second. You can also call us at 800-636-1067. It is our Metropolitan Moving and Storage poll of the day. Local, long-distance, residential, commercial, 3 decades of best-in-class service and experience. We're just getting started. Tons to talk about today, including an important conversation with Charles Allen. Is progress being made on a stadium at the RFK site? Yes or no? We will get a direct answer in just over an hour on The Fan. With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. I saw some blowback that rankings were getting that didn't have Jaden Daniels high enough by Commanders fans. I wanted to throw my theory out there that it's too early to bristle at something like that after one season. Let's just quietly move forward knowing we got the guy who's about to take the league by storm again. But want to get your guys' thoughts on that. 800-636-1067 among our listeners here. Do you guys buy that? And that's our poll of the day presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage on the Twitters with 106.7 The Fan. Do you guys think it's too soon to take offense to Daniels not being listed in the top 10? I guess part of the problem for me is I'm not a huge list guy as it is. Like, nobody likes making top 5 lists more than I do about random things. Mm-hmm. But what I'm not going to do regularly on the show, even in the off season, is just turn it into, here's the top 10 tight ends list. Here's the top 10 running backs list. Like, whatever that is, it's generated for a little bit of clicky reaction and whatever.
Sure, you always have to have one that's out of whack so that yours gets forwarded around and everybody engages with it. That's normal.
I guess I'm not a player rankings list guy, is my point. The reason I care about this one is I actually think it's instructive to say, hey, we don't need to put the cart before the horse. We don't need to throw the party yet. Let's throw it after this season, right? Let's wait. Let's either, I don't think we need him in this town to play better than he did last year. Let's just let him par the course here and do that again. And now you know you got one of the 5 or so best quarterbacks in the National Football League. And who knows, maybe we can start to have the conversation. He's a better thrower than Lamar. He can also run. I mean, Lamar's been at this thing for how many years without breaking through and hasn't even, you know, gotten as far as Jaden's gotten twice, hypothetically, you know, depending on what happens this year. And you start to have a conversation about number 4 in the NFL, number 3 in the NFL, what that looks like. But it's too early right now, and I just think everyone needs to take a deep breath.
Yeah, so the way I feel very similarly, the way I would amend it for my own feelings is, I'll throw my party here locally. I don't expect everyone to come. I don't expect everyone nationally to come to my local party. Locally, we should be thrilled. We got it. You guys, yes, come on in. Come on to the Jaden Daniels party. nationally, where you've got bigger samples to worry about, a lot of different ins and outs, a lot of teams that have are on the rise or have played very well, or other coaches and things, you're sort of dealing with a different set of criteria. Totally fine. Totally fine. Eventually, I'll go, hey, man, you probably should have taken a flight, hopped on a flight and come to my party. Not right now. I'm not offended yet. But if we do this, if we're here next year, then I might start to get a little irritated. Nowhere near irritated just yet. Although right here locally, I know what I got.
Let's go to Matt in D.C. on Grant and Danny. What's up, Matt? How are you?
I'm great, gents. Good afternoon. Yeah,
good, buddy.
It's like, sure. I mean, absolutely. At this point, who cares? Yeah, okay, fine. He's whatever you want to think of him. The guy last year who didn't, whose team didn't punt for a couple, three games, if the about to be Super Bowl champions didn't force a couple of turnovers, they were looking at, how many times did Jaden Daniels bring us back from the dead just in that championship game? I did want to push back a little bit on the RG3 thing because, if Mike Shanahan, I think, purposefully didn't, sort of ruin him in that Seahawks game and he hadn't been injured. I mean, he was really actually pretty fantastic. And, in RG3's last game before the Seahawks game, he led two length of the field touchdown drives, probably the last two.
I'm not trying to get into a tit for tat on Robert Griffin 12 years later. I don't think they purposefully ruined him. I think that's silly. And the final game you're talking about, Alfred Morris ran for 200 yards and three touchdowns. I think Griffin threw for about 100 yards in that division championship win against the Cowboys. That seven-game winning streak, if you go back and look, Cousins started one of those games and threw for more yards than they'd thrown for in any game in a season. Now, the Griffin year was unbelievable. It was a 5-1 touchdown interception ratio. It was one of the great rookie seasons we've ever seen. He was the rookie of the year deservedly. But most of the hay was put in the barn before the Ravens injury, oddly enough, which was with, right around 7 weeks left. And after that, he kind of limped his way through and had some big moments in that seven-game winning streak. There's no doubt about that. But I don't know what you're pushing back on. My point is he had a great rookie year. I'm just saying there's no comparison between the two in the way of how advanced Daniels is as a passer, making plays right now, the way that he did, and where he's at going into the second year of his career compared to Griffin, which it just felt like within the locker room, I covered that team, I was around that team, I was on that beat with teammates. It was just a very different feel behind the scenes then than now. That's all. And I think what's going to happen is you're going to see that Jaden Daniels is going to go on to have many, many, many years, a lot like the first one.
Yeah, so you think, for example, if somebody's able to, quote-unquote, take away his legs, a.k.a. like have a game where you go, no matter what, this guy's not going to beat us, right? Like has been done to Kyler Murray or has been done to, Lamar in one of those playoff games against Kansas City where they were like, we're going to throw from the pocket, which is a huge mistake because you're eliminating the skill set. I think Daniels is better equipped to have counter punches over the course of his career maybe than some of the other guys that have had early success doing something one way.
I will say that Vikings long touchdown run that Griffin had at home in Landover, Daniels didn't end up with one of those plays, interestingly enough. And I don't know if you line them up side by side, who wins in a race, not that that's most important thing at quarterback, but I kind of thought when Daniels was drafted, he was faster than Robert Griffin. I'm not even sure if I still believe that.
I don't actually think so. I mean, one guy to me has, I know it was a different event, but the hurdles, but I think Griffin has track sprinter speed, whereas right. Daniels moves in that elusive football kind of way.
That's certainly what I think now. Is he's more of a hoppy, dancy, kind of jab step type guy. But watching him in college, he had a lot of those types of touchdowns against Florida and other teams where he ran away from DBs. And I don't know, I just thought at some point he's going to rip off the 65-yarder for a touchdown. And this year I would still, if FanDuel offered that, last year I would have bet a lot of money. Longest touchdown run over 59.5 or something, I would have said yes. I call me a sucker. I'll do it again this year. I still think he's got one because it takes a play like the Griffin snap where you got to beat the safety and nobody else is there and you're off to the races. And I just don't think it presented itself for Daniels this year. Let's go to Austin and Raleigh listening on the Odyssey app. What's up, Austin?
Hey, boys. Love the show.
Appreciate you.
So I think lists are stupid. It's plain and simple. There's facts that you can kind of go off of, but every single list that's made has people's personal opinions on there. So I'm a firm believer that, you know, you have to at least have 2 years to be considered for any, you know, being a great player, because teams figure you out, injuries happen, you have a bad off season. In any kind of sport, there's ways to figure out players. So you got to have a sample size of at least 2 years to start being considered for that stuff.
Yeah, no issue there. I mean, again, there are guys that have more deposits in the bank that probably have claims for this list. And I know we're not debating the specific list, but there, I'd be more upset, for example, if I was Jared Goff. I'd be more upset if I was Baker Mayfield with a couple straight years of pretty good play. I'd be more upset if I was a few other guys where I go, okay, I'm not just a rookie who's done it once. Why am I here? Why, you know, where's my respect? So, yeah, I mean, I like the two-year rule because that's, again, seems to be the minimum for this list. I think that's totally fine. It's also, by the way, reasonable to me that if someone said, you guys, we haven't seen this before. Nobody's done it this way, this well. Put him sixth. Put him fifth. Put him eighth. Totally reasonable to me as well. Like, I think he belongs here. I'd have him ahead of the final four guys that are mentioned, personally. But I don't hate the fact that he's not.
Let's go to Robert, who's in Dallas. We're playing on the Odyssey app today. I think we're on in D.C. as well.
Hard to tell, Robert. How are you?
Absolutely, I'm on the Odyssey app, man. The greatest app of all time. Come on now.
Hey, buddy.
There is no better app that's more effective, efficient, and works more regularly than the Odyssey app. I've always said that.
I've said that many times, yeah. Do you hear that, Ryan?
Yeah, it really is a good app. I appreciate it. So, look, I have to be fair. I remember years ago when Los Angeles, whoever they were, beat us on with Justin Herbert. And we could not stop him on third downs. And everybody wanted to put Justin Herbert in the Hall of Fame. And I called in and said, whoa, it's way too early, bro. It's 1 year. Fast forward, he still hasn't won a playoff game. I love Jaden Daniels, but it has only been 1 year. So if I'm going to say that about Justin Herbert, I have to say the same thing about Jaden. I'm glad that he's ours, and I'm glad locally I love him, and he deserves all the props, but it's been 1 year. So let's let him do this again next year. Let's let him do it to the fact where he's like Pat Mahomes and all that. I'm glad he was Rookie of the Year, and he deserves it. I'm glad he's a Commander. But we have to give him time. So I don't feel offended by the fact that he's not been listed in the top 10. I think it's disrespectful for the people that have done a year in and year out.
I agree with that.
Yeah, appreciate
actually.
You.
And this is kind of the premise of the conversation. Like, would I rather have Jaden Daniels than Jared Goff? Obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But Jared Goff, over a 3-year span now with the Detroit Lions, has put up monster totals. And for multiple seasons, when Jaden Daniels was at LSU tearing up the SEC, or before that when he's at Arizona State, you know, Jared Goff's slinging it in the National Football League. And over the last 3 years, it's 29, 30, and 37 touchdowns and fewer than 12 picks. In fact, pretty sure he had a 5-interception game last year, if you remember, on national TV. Otherwise, he threw 7 picks in 16 games. I mean, it was a ridiculous year that he had. So if he's in the top 10 and Jaden Daniels isn't, I'm not going to be overly upset that another MVP candidate is there. Now, the Geno Smith thing, again, I can't defend that. That doesn't make any sense to me. I don't understand how he would be where he is on that list. But there are enough guys like Dak Prescott as an example. Who would I rather have, Jaden Daniels going forward or Dak Prescott? Pretty clearly, I'd rather have Jaden Daniels than Dak Prescott, right? Unless you're a Cowboys fan or related to Dak Prescott, I think that would probably be your answer. One's a lot younger, one makes a lot less money, and one has been better at football more recently, and they're all the same guy. Having said that, Dak's got some pelts on the wall now. There are a couple of seasons where he's been over 35, close to 40 touchdowns, right?
Led the league in touchdown passes the year before last.
Absolutely. Right? And there have been a couple of years when he's gotten hurt, by the way, when he was on his way to some of his biggest numbers. But mm-hmm. when he plays, he goes out there and he puts up 4,500 passing yards and 30 to 35 touchdowns. So years of that has to account for something. And that's all it is to me, is a sample size issue. After 2 years, I think it's disrespectful. You've seen it once. Now he proved that it's for real. It wasn't a one-off. There's guys who have fluky great seasons. Like, Bo Nix just played really, really well. If Bo Nix is ranked 12th on a ranking right now, that's too soon for me. I happen to think Daniels is better than him, but show me again, Bo. Let's see what happens. Jay in L.A., what's good?
Hey, what's up, guys? Love
hey, buddy.
The show.
Appreciate you.
But I really have to push back on this ridiculous 2-year rule that you guys are applying to Jaden. And I get the idea of consistency, but the NFL has evolved. So if a rookie QB lights it up and changes the identity of a team and he shows like elite traits and you know, like, why should we pretend that it doesn't count just because he's new?
I don't think we're pretending it doesn't count.
Let me clarify real quick. He's on my list. He's fifth or sixth for me. I'd have to really sit down and decide. But he belongs on a list as far as I'm concerned. I guess the question, just to more to drill down on it, is, are we offended, annoyed, irritated that he's not on a league-wide list just yet?
I'll ask more directly the actual question from the poll, which is it too soon after a year to feel like he's being disrespected? Again, if I ranked my top 10 quarterbacks right now, I could not name 10 without Daniels being on the list. So I can disagree with the list, but it is, for me, way too soon to go back at them and go, how dare you not have Jaden Daniels after 17 games of football?
Yeah, I think recency bias in this case is actually all that matters. Mm. Because if you're talking about legacy and what quarterbacks have done for the past 5 years or so, then I guess you have a point there. But I think if we're talking about what have you done for me lately, and we're looking at the QBs last year who produced for their team. I mean, if you put Jaden on the Eagles, he wins the Super Bowl his rookie year. You know what I'm saying? He was on the Commanders, and he brought us, on his back to the NFC Championship game. And I know I sound like a typical Homer Washington fan.
No, that's okay.
No, we were there too. Yeah.
We're asking for the feedback.
Appreciate you.
From people who are taking issue, because that was my point. I saw a lot of that last week, and I didn't expect it. I kind of thought people would go, oh, okay, we need Jaden to do this again before they're going to give him the respect, instead of going, you guys are insane, he's already the fifth best quarterback in the league, which was kind of the takeaway from some of these lists. This was a top 10. I even saw he wasn't in a top 5 list, and it drew a lot of ire. Like, oh, look at the disrespect, eyeball emojis, I hope Jaden sees this. And it's like, 1 year? You know, it was basically, what was it, a 13 games of Jaden being Jaden, because there was like that month where he wasn't really. After the cracked rib.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about, he spent three quarters of last year just about, right around 76% playing at a MVP caliber level. But it's 13 games where we're now above being knocked. Or is it, after 1 year, okay to not yet put him on that pedestal? That's kind of the question. Hey, I want to talk Ace Bailey next. Wait to hear about the drama going on with him. Did the Wizards maybe dodge a bullet? That is next. G&D on the Fan, coming up at 3:30 today. Charles Allen, D.C. council member. We've got to get to the bottom of some of what's going on. Got some tough questions for him. He's always very gracious and kind to join us. And a level set with us, if you will, Danny. We're big level.
And you know I will. I'm not going to go forward with anything until that level is set.
You've got to do it.
I will go.
Brian Keefe at 3:45, the head coach of the Wizards, who added three players in the draft the last couple of nights. Want to talk Trey Johnson with him. But speaking of the draft quickly, Ace Bailey. So he was the story in the NBA draft.
Yes, he was.
And here in DC, he was the epicenter of all of the convos we were having leading up to the draft. Does he fall to them at six? If he does, do they have the luxury of passing on him? Remember, he wanted to get to the Wizards. So if they would have taken him, it would have been a non-issue. He would have been happy to be here. And whether he becomes the player he's supposed to or not, I guess, would have been the big debate. But some of the red flags and the questions about his character and the demands he was making before the draft, and the fact that he was the only American player in the States that didn't show up to a single team facility for a sanctioned NBA workout, all of those things, they didn't matter as much for the Wizards because he actually did want to be there. And the reason, I think a lot of people feel like, he was acting the way he was to make sure that none of the teams in the top five drafted him, right? I say that to tell you, Danny, that this is not getting better after the Utah Jazz essentially told him, we know you don't want us to draft you. Sorry about your luck. Remember, Utah was in the same boat as Washington.
Yeah.
They had a terrible year.
Mm-hmm.
They did what they could to tank to get the top pick. Then they fell way down the board. Does this sound familiar? They were hoping to get Cooper Flagg 1 in the lottery.
Yeah, the worst they could get was fifth. And guess what they got?
Fifth, right? So then they're sitting there at 5. And like us, the night they found out they picked fifth, everyone in town is bummed. Everyone in the front office is hiding all the sharp objects, right? And it's a terrible night. But then the draft comes, and because of Ace Bailey's antics, he's there for you at five, and you're able to get a top two or three player maybe in the entire class. And so guess what they did? They took him. They elected to draft him even though he didn't want them to do so. But since then, things don't sound very good. He did not show up the next day, which is normally a thing that where you have your immediate press conference the day after. So they've announced they were going to do a joint press conference on Monday with all of their draft picks. But apparently, he hasn't been to the facility. There are all kinds of guys all over the sport with videos already coming out from the facility and them meeting with the team. That has not happened yet. There's speculation maybe that he won't show up. And so, while we kept saying, this is just posturing. He's just trying to get what he wants. The Jazz called his bluff, and now there is a game of chicken starting, it looks like.
Yeah, so ESPN reported that Bailey's agent, Omar Cooper, and again, if you haven't read that NJ.com piece, please read it. Good heavens. But his agent, Omar Cooper, informed one team drafting the top five that Bailey would not report if that team chose him, and it's not clear which team that was. So there are five teams in the top five.
Right.
One of them drafted him. He hasn't reported yet. That's all I know so far.
We know it wasn't the number one pick, by the way, because they were taking Cooper Flagg, and there's no reason for him to say that. So it was either two through five that he told, I will not play for you if you draft me. We could speculate. We could guess.
Sure. It could be Charlotte. It's not a great situation. But who knows? But the point is, that sort of stuff is out there. That's an ESPN report that his agent informed one team drafting him in the top five that he would not report if that team chose him, and it's not clear what team that was.
So Brian Windhorst was on Get Up, I think it was today, but he was on one of the TV shows that they have that all look the same, that are on all day long. And he talked about the fact that the Jazz are going to ride this out as long as it takes, that they are not going to balk, regardless of what demands he makes or if he doesn't want to play there. It's not like they're going to go, okay, whoopsie-daisy, we made the wrong pick and trade him.
If he doesn't want to be there and he doesn't show up and this starts to get ugly, do you see the Jazz ultimately giving in?
I do not. I do not think any team in this situation would give in. They have the ultimate position, and I do not see Danny Ainge giving in. And here's the bottom line. The Utah Jazz play in Salt Lake City, and I say this as somebody who lives in the middle of the country. They cannot worry about whether a player wants to be in Salt Lake City or whether he loves the fit on their roster. They have to draft and develop the most talented players they can. That is why they took him, despite him not working out, and they will absolutely not budge on this. And eventually, Ace Bailey is going to be a Utah Jazz. We'll just see how long it takes for him and his representation to figure that out.
Wow.
Okay.
He's going to be a member of the Jazz. He and his agent just don't know it yet. That's pretty amazing.
That sounds fun.
You know that I said take him if he's there,
mm-hmm.
and Trey Johnson isn't. Important caveat, because I wanted Trey Johnson, and I'm glad they have him. But it was a different situation because he was willing to play for the Wizards, whereas if I was the Wizards at five, and I was one of the teams, hypothetically, that he didn't want to go to, that's a whole different debate. But I still would have said take him, call his bluff, he's posturing, let's check what cards he's got in his hand. I'm now at a point, though, where I go, he's a good player, he's a good prospect.
Yep.
Is he this good? Like, that never came up because I love the ability to score.
Yeah.
I am smitten by his game. I think in this class he was second most talented,
yeah.
But he is acting like he's Cooper Flagg a little bit with the demands and the what I'm doing and what I'm not doing. You better be really good, man.
Yeah, so there was an hour earlier this week where you were out, and that's what we talked about. And I'm going, if you're 1-1, I don't like this. But if you're 1-5... 1-4, 1-7, 1-whatever. I really don't like it. So this was the thing that scared me. Not necessarily because, well, if you were right now, talking about Washington, a preferred destination, how long does that last? If someone who's willing to do this, to forego a $10 million, $15 million by losing slots in the draft over the life of his deal, if he's willing to do that and you know, not sprint to the end of his rookie deal and, you know, earn all the rights and be able to sign max extension, demand trades, do the dance that NBA players are allowed to do now. If he's willing to do this pre-draft, how soon until he sours on you? The first time Brian Keefe says, you know what, you got to sit down, you didn't rotate on defense the way that I told you in practice 1,000 times. Are we now 30 seconds away from texting the agent who's now going to do whatever this is to us? My point is, he wanted to be here now. How long does that last? I mean, with this sort of behavior. And again, nothing's happened yet. He could end up just showing up in a couple days later than anticipated. And as long as he's there by Monday when their summer league training camp stuff starts, I guess it's all forgiven. But it doesn't look good right now.
Charles Allen, D.C. Council, in 30 minutes, stadium, RFK 2.0 happening or not? We're going to get some answers. And Brian Keith, the head coach of the Wizards, at 3:45 today. Next, though, Nats fandom is in a dark place. We'll explain.